How you doing there? Whoops. How you doing there? Welcome back to Babylon Talmud. Today we're studying Daf Tes, Daf 9 of Masechta Bava Kamma. Friends. Alright, today we're talking about stuff related to Bava Kamma. Edis and stuff. Then we get to a new Mishnah, which talks about some Bava Kamma. Alright, we're going to start on Daf Tesamud Aleph, about, I don't know, 5-7 lines into the page. I'm wearing a t-shirt, and then the mic, I hope the mic is okay. I hope it doesn't, like, interfere with my beard. My beard's getting long, I don't know if you noticed. What should I do? I don't know. Sorry, but I'm scratching my nose. Now my dad commented on it, too. All right, we're starting off Tess Amud Aleph, about 7 lines into the page. Rafuna Amar, Uwah, says Rafuna, O Kesef, O Meitav. Oh, so Rafuna says that a fellow if Reuven damages Shimon and he owes him damages, so he pays him either money. Okay, either pays him in cash or he pays him in his edis, in the best of his fields. A sphere of Nachman the Rafuna. Nachman asakasha to Rafuna. Yashiv the Rabbu Shvei Kesev afilu Subin. Ho ho. But the pasuk says Yashiv to include even monetary equivalents. For example, bran. You can even use bran. Nachav ma'eskinon b'deleisli. Oh. So you can only use bran if you push it, don't have any cash. And you don't have any property, but you have bran, so you can pay with bran in that case. Idilesle, if he's got no other stuff, but pshita, then obviously, if it's all he's got, it's all he's got. You know, if Reuven says, "Look, all I have is this bran," so Shimon says, "All right, whatever you got, Reuven." But ma'u detema, aminon lezil tarach zovin va'aisi lekesef kamashman. Yeah, but I may have thought that we tell Reuven, all right, whatever, all you have is bran, but still, don't just give Shimon bran. Go sell the bran, get money, and give the money to Shimon. Don't just give him bran. What's he gonna do with bran? He's got to sell it now. So no, kamashman poshet. Yeah, Reuven kataka, just give bran to. I hope Subin means bran because I've been calling it bran. You can even just give bran to Shimon and. Let Shimon deal with it. Okay, fine. It says the Gemara. Amar Vasi says Ravasi ksof marein kekarko. Oh, says Ravasi that money is like land. What do you guys think? You think money is like land? It says Ravasi that money is like land. L'mayel chesap. What do you mean money is like land? Sorry, mom. What do you mean that money is like land? Ilem l'inyan meitav. If it's with regard to like Meitav Sadeh, so like either you could pay in cash or you can pay Edis. Well, that's what Ravuna is saying. So then, as Rashi points out, that then it shouldn't be Omer Ravasi, Ksav Merikin Karka, it should be Vechein Omer Ravasi. And similarly, just like Ravuna says, you could pay either cash or Edis, so says Ravasi, either cash or Edis. But it doesn't say Vechein Omer Ravasi. It sounds like he's saying something else. So rather it's talking about two brothers who divided up their father's estate. Okay, so you have Reuven and Shimon. Their father passed away. Father Yaakov passed away. And Reuven and Shimon are dividing up the estate. Okay. V'natol echod karke v'echod ksofim. I was thinking the opposite. So I'll stick with how I was thinking about before so I don't rock the boat. Reuven takes the cash and Shimon takes the property. Okay? That's how they divide it up. Yaakov passes away. Reuven and Shimon are dividing up the estate. Reuven says, I'll take the cash. Shimon says, I'll take the property. And that's how they divide it up. V'bauchoy v'notal karka. Oh. But look who shows up at Shimon's door. Apparently, Jacob owed money to somebody. And that somebody knocks on Shimon's door and says, Shimon, sorry to say so, but sadly it's true. Who could tell me where that quote comes from? Sorry to say so, but sadly it's true. Should I give you more? I can give you more of a hint if you want. But bang-ups and hang-ups will happen to you. I think that's the quote. You know where that's from? I'm sorry to say so, but sadly it's true that bang-ups and hang-ups will happen to you. I think that's a direct quote from "Oh, the Places You'll Go" by Dr. Seuss. So v'notel echad karka v'echad k'sofim v'abalcho v'notel karka. Oh, so then this creditor comes and knocks on Shimon's door and says, "I'm taking your karka." So the ozel hai v'shokil palga b'ch'sofim be'adei. Okay. So now, after Shimon loses his property, he goes to his brother Reuven and says, "Reuven, look, our father owed money. I lost the property. Let's split your cash in half." And what it means is that Ksofim Rein Kinkarka is that Reuven, who has the Ksofim, is also obligated, is also on the line and has to split the losses over here, because Kesef Harein Kekarka, and he also is obligated to foot half the bill for his father's debt. Pshita, obviously they should have to split the responsibility. Hai bro v'hai lav bro. I don't understand. What is Shimon? Exactly. What is only Shimon considered the son of Jacob and not Reuven? Like, I don't understand. Like it's the children's responsibility to cover their father's debt. So what, only Shimon is on the line? Reuven isn't? Of course they should have to split the bill. So therefore, what exactly is the chiddush over there? You could damn to those who say, Adrab, no fakert. You could say it fakir, that no, the creditor comes, takes Shimon's field away from him. Shimon goes to Reuven and says, "Hey, Reuven, oh buddy, old pal, for old time's sake, let's, how about you give me half of our father's cash?" And you know what Reuven says? "Get lost. This is why I took the money. Like, look, I took the money, you took the property, we each took a certain risk upon ourselves. The risk that I took is the imiganve, that if the money gets stolen from me, I'll be left with nothing. That's the risk I'm taking. Lo mishtalam naminoch, I wouldn't come to you and ask for your property. Uloch ishakalt ara. And when you took the property, you took the following risk, di mitarfa, that if a creditor would show up and take your field from you, you wouldn't come to me and ask me to split the cash. We each took risk in our choice to take cash or property respectively, and therefore don't come to me." And therefore, we're not saying that kesef is like karka. So ella. So rather, what is the example where Rav Asi is saying kesef arein kekarka? Because remember, in the first interpretation where Shimon splits it with Reuven, we said, well, that's obvious, right? It can't be that only Shimon is responsible to foot the bill. And according to the second one, we say Shimon can't actually go to Reuven, because Reuven says, look, that was the risk that you took when you accepted the property. So rather, what it's talking about is that, no, it's not that Reuven took the cash and Shimon took the property, no. They both, it was, I guess we're not talking about cash, we're just talking about property, and they split the property in half, okay? Jacob had two fields, and Reuven took one field, Shimon took the other field, okay? Uva balchov v'notel chelko shalechon mein, and a creditor knocks on Shimon's door and says, "Hey Shimon, your father owed me money, I'm taking the field," okay? And we are saying, oh, and then we are saying that, so in that case, right, they both had property, right? So it's surely not Shimon's responsibility to have to pay for the father's debts and not Reuven. So Shimon now goes to Reuven and says, Reuven, look, let's split the field. And in that case, right, so meaning Shimon lost his field. He goes to Reuven and says, Reuven, look, let's split your field in half. So Reuven can either give him half of his field or he can give him money. And that's the case that Rav Asi is talking about, that kesef, arein, kikarka, that Reuven can give either property to Shimon or money to Shimon, either way. And kesef, arein, kikarka, the money would be just as good as the as giving actual property. But if that's the case, Rav Asi has already said this before. The Itmar was stated, Achim Shechelku, that if you have two brothers that divide up an estate, right? So Reuven and Shimon divide up their father's estate. Reuven takes one field, Shimon takes the other field. Uva balchov v'notol chelko shalechod mein. And a creditor comes and takes Shimon's property away from him. So Rav amar b'teila machlokas. So Rav says, look, we go back to the drawing board, right? Initially, Reuven, right? They divided up. Reuven took one field, Shimon took the other field. Shimon's field was taken away from him. So they go back to the drawing board and they split Reuven's field in half. Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says Viter. Shmuel says, look, Shimon loses out. Look, Reuven got one field, Shimon got the other field. The creditor took Shimon's field. Sorry, Shimon, just bad luck, but you're done. You don't get anything. Rav Asi Amar, and Rav Asi somewhere in between, right? Remember, Rav said that they go back to the drawing board and Reuven gives Shimon half of his field. Shmuel says Shimon gets nothing and Reuven keeps his entire field, his field in his entirety. And Rav Asi, somewhere in the middle, he says that Reuven doesn't give Shimon half of his field, but he gives him a quarter of his field. Rav Asi Amar Notal Revia Bikarka Revia B'maos, that Rav Asi says, look, Shimon can take, I mean, Reuven has to give Shimon either a quarter of his field, or the value, or the money worth, right, the value of a quarter of his field, either in property or in money. So we see that according to Rav Asi, money and property, right, kesef and karka are interchangeable. Rav Omar, says Rav, Bitela, right, so Rav had said that, right, that the initial division that Reuven gets one field and Shimon gets the other field is null and void now, and they go back to the drawing board and split Reuven's field in half. Right? So Rav Amar Bitele Machlokas. So Ksover Ha'achim Shechelku K'yorshim Avu. That when the two brothers divide up their father's estate, they are like inheritors. And therefore, they're inheriting the estate. Reuven inherits half of it. Shimon inherits the other half of it. When the creditor comes and takes away Reuven's half, Shimon's half from him, so Shimon now goes back to Reuven. He says, look, you know, half of our inheritance is gone. We need to redivide what's left. And Reuven gets half, and Shimon gets half of what's left. Ushmuel Amar Viter Kosover Achim Shechelku Lekuchas. Uchlokech Shlobachray is Domi. Whereas Shmuel treats it that when Reuven and Shimon divide up the estate, they are like purchasers, meaning once they divide it up and Reuven, so to speak, purchases his half and Shimon, so to speak, purchases his half, right? It's like they each purchase their half. And if something happens to Shimon's half, okay, his purchase is gone, but he can't go back to Reuven and say, give me half of yours. I mean, it's Reuven's. It's not like an inheritance that each one has a 50% right to it. Once they've divided it up, it's as though they each purchased what they own. And Shimon can't go back to Reuven now and say, like, oh, hey, can you give me half of yours? No, it's Reuven's. Rav Asi Omar, Nota Revia Bekarka Revia Bemos, whereas Rav Asi says that Reuven gives to Shimon a quarter of his property, it's because Misapkale Ike Yorshin Damu, he's not sure if they're considered like inheritors, in which case Reuven should have to give Shimon half of his property, Ike Likuchos Damu, or if they're considered like buyers, in which case Reuven doesn't need to give Shimon anything at all. Hilkach, therefore, nota revia bekarka revia b'maos, and therefore, Rav Asi is somewhere in between, where it's not like Rav says, which is they divide it in half, and it's not like Shmuel, which says that Reuven keeps everything. Rather, he says Reuven gives him a quarter, and that could be either money or a quarter of the property. So. So we see that Rav Asi, we already saw from here Rav Asi's opinion that Kesef Arein Kekarka. So what's Ravasi saying when he says Kesef Arein Kekarka? If we already know that. Elamai Arein Kekarka. So what is Kesef Arein Kekarka? The Inyan Meitav. Well, with regard to damages, right? That Reuven can pay Shimon, if his ox damages, he can pay either cash or property. But Yochi Anu Dervuna. But that's what Ravuna is saying. Aim of a chenam Ravasi. So say, and so says Ravasi, that Ravasi agrees with Ravuna and similarly says that he can pay for damages either with money or with property. Amr Ravzera says Ravzera, Amr Ravuna says Ravzera, Amr Ravuna. B'mitzveh ad shlish. Oh, interesting. Says Ravzera in the name of Ravuna that when it comes to a mitzveh, up until a third. Maishlish, what does it mean for a mitzvah up until a third? Ile mishlish beis, so if it means that when it comes to a mitzvah, you have to be willing to spend up to a third of your savings. Up to a third of your savings. El miata, yisraim le tlaso mitzvisa, leisiv l'chule beisa. So what? So if he has to do three mitzvahs, so then he has to spend all of his savings, because three mitzvahs, he can spend up to a third of his savings on each. He's wiped himself clean. He's got nothing. He's got no money left. He spent a third of his savings on three mitzvahs each. So Elam Reb Zeir rather says Reb Zeir behidur mitzvah ad shlish b'mitzvah. Oh, so what it means is no. With hidur mitzvah, you have to spend up to a third of the mitzvah. So for the Rashi, the example Rashi gives for is, I think it's the example Rashi gives. Why not? Yeah, he does. So, for example, if you have two Sefer Torah, right? A fellow's in the market for a Sefer Torah. He's looking to buy a Sefer Torah. And they say, okay, here's the two Sefer Torah you could choose from. One of them is like, standard Sefer Torah. The other one is a Spitz Sefer Torah. Mamish, the best Sefer Torah you've ever seen in your life. So we're saying that if the, so long as the better, the higher level Sefer Torah is within a third more expensive. I mean, I guess it's, if it's more than a third, we're saying he doesn't have to do it. But if it's within a third more, so he should spend the extra money for the more mehudr Sefer Torah. So Elo Amar Abzer, says Abzer, behidr mitzvah, and to do a mitzvah better, to get a more mehudr mitzvah, ad shlish b'mitzvah, spend up to a third more of the price of the sort of standard version of the mitzvah. By Rav Ashi asks, shlish milagov o shlish milavar teku. When we say a third of the mitzvah, is it milagov or milavar? Is it milagov or milavar? I don't know which one means or how to, which means which or how to translate it, but what it means is that if the Sefer Torah, for example, is $600, so is it a third of that, which is $200? So meaning, if as long as the second Sefer Torah is not more than $800, right? A third of 600 is 200. So 600 plus 200 is 800. Or does it mean half of 600, which is 100, which is 300, right? So 600 divided by 2 is 300. So 600 plus 300 is 900. So the 300 that you added is a third of the total, of the subsequent total. So basically, are we talking about adding 300 or adding 200? So we say take. We're talking not sure. B'mayrava Amri. Now in Eretz Yisrael, they say Mishmei de Reb Zeir in the name of Reb Zeir. Ad shlish mishalo mikan ve'elach min HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Interesting. That let's say the more mehudr Sefer Torah is $1,000, right? So for that initial third that he's paying above the standard price. So that, he bets and pays out of pocket. He doesn't get like extra reward for that in this world. But anything above that third, God rewards him in this world for having gone the extra mile to purchase the more mehudr mitzvah. And now we get to a new Mishnah. I think that this is our first time getting to a new Mishnah, Masechet Bava Kamma. All right, exciting times. Okay, here we go. This Mishnah, I don't know, it's a shtickle piece of work maybe, but let's see. Kol shechavti b'shmirasu, that if I am responsible to guard something, to take care of something, and it got damaged, hechshayti as nizko, so then I'm responsible for its damages and I have to pay for it. Hechsharti b'miktsas nizko. So if I am only responsible for sort of contributing somewhat to the damage, chavti b'tashlum nizko. Okay, hechshir kol nizko. I'm chayv for everything. So meaning, so the Gemara is going to give an example. So for example, and we'll get into the details, I believe, I don't think tomorrow. Yeah, tomorrow I think we get into it. That, you know, but it, for example, you know, as we've seen before, I think we said that if somebody digs a pit that's 9 tefachim deep, will damage, is assumed that it will damage an animal. 10 tefachim deep, it can actually kill the animal. So let's say, you know, Reuven had dug a pit that was 9 tefachim deep, comes Shimon and adds only one more tefach. So only he contributed to the damage, right? He only dug it one tefach, whereas Reuven had dug it 9 tefachim. But nonetheless, Shimon, we're going to see the, in what case, but, you know, Shimon only contributed, you know, somewhat, but yet he's going to be chayev for everything. And we'll get into the details later, but the point is that you can have somebody who contributes only a shtickel, and yet he's chayev for everything. Nechasim she'ein bo'en me'ilo. So property that is not me'ilo, i.e. it's not like hektish. Nechasim she'ein shel b'nei bris. Nechasim that belong to a yid. Nechasim ha'miyuchadim, privately owned nechasim, as opposed to hefker. Uv'chol makom, and in any place, chutz me'rishus ha'miyuchedes l'mazik. Except, of course, if, you know, somebody's animal damages in his own property, in his own house, and then he damages somebody else, but, you know, it was in the owner of the ox's own property. Versus anizak v'amazik, or if it's a property that was shared between the damaging party and the damaged party. So long as it's not one of those two, right? So long as it's not the damager's property or a property owned by both of them. Kshu chav, when the damager damages, in any other case, kshayizik chav amazik, The damager is going to be obligated to pay with the best possible stuff. Tanur Rabbanan, the Rabbis taught, Kol shechavti b'shmiroso hechsharti es nizko. So something that I need to guard, I am responsible for its damages. Okay, so what are we talking about? So shor uvor. So if you have an ox, or if you have a pit, Shemisaran, that you gave the responsibility, l'cherishoytivikotin, to l'cherishoytivikotin. Interesting. Veiziko, and then the ox or the pit caused damage. Chayiv l'shalim, the sort of person who was initially responsible needs to pay. Mashen kein bo eish, which is not the case by eish, by fire. But my skin, what's the ukimta? What are we talking about? Ilem b'shor kosher uvor mechuso. If we're talking about an ox that was tied up, or a pit that was covered, d'chavasa gabe eish gacheles, that the equivalent by eish would be a coal that is not kind of raging. But if I understand correctly, we're talking about like a coal that is kind of just kind of coaling. Like, you know, kind of glowing, but not like a fire or anything like that. And, you know, over time it'll go out. So how come if we're talking about a ox that is tied up and a pit that is covered and a coal that is just like, you know, is not like ray, you know, there's no flame or anything. So how come you're chayev by the ox and by the pit, but not by the coal? So rather it's talking about a ox that is not tied up and a pit that is uncovered. The equivalent by fire would be shalheves, a flame. Right, meaning it, right, so the equivalent by a fire would be an actual flame rather than a coal. Mashain came be'esh de potter, but then why are we saying that if he gives a flame to cherishotavikotin, he would be potter? V'am Rish Lakish mishmei dechizkia, that Rish Lakish says the name of chizkia, lo shanu ela shemoshelo gacheles v'liba, that when we say that the sender would be potter, that's only if he gave the cherishot of a coal, and then the cherishot of a coal fanned the coal and made it into a fire, in that case, the sender would be potter. Aval shalev is chayiv. But if the sender mamish gave a flame to a cherish to a kohen, the sender would be chayiv. So why are we saying, so if we're talking about an actual flame, why would it be potter by esh? My time, do a bari azeka. It's chayiv because it's a dangerous thing. So the olam b'shor kashu var mechusa. Okay, so really we are talking about a ox that is tied up and a pit that is covered. And we're saying that in that case he would be chayiv with the kavasa gabe esh gacheles. And by the equivalent by fire would be a coal. With the ka'amart, mashna'ocho. And you said, okay, but then why should he be chayiv by a shor and by a bor, but potter by esh? Shor darke linatuke, because a ox is going to, you know, try to get himself untied. Bor darke linature, and a pit gets, you know, the covering can fall away, and it can get revealed again, opened again, exposed again. Gachel is kama deshavikla ma'amya amya va'azla. But the opposite is true when it comes to a coal, that it is getting weaker and weaker over time. As time goes by, it's, you know, the flame is, the coal is getting weaker and weaker and going more and more out. That is why you're potter by the fire. Now, according to Rabbi Yochanan, who says that a sender would be potter, even if he gives an actual flame to a cher shoy tivikoyin, the chavos ocho b'shor muto uvor megula, which the equivalent would be by the ox and by the pit, an ox that is untied and a pit that is exposed. Mashnocho. So I come by the pit and by the ox is chayev, but not by the flame. Hosam tzavse the cherish kagorim, because by the flame it's ultimately the grasp of the cherish that is causing the damage. Let's go right there for a second. Hachalot tzavse the cherish kagorim, but by the the ox that is untied and the pit that is exposed, it's not the cherish that's doing anything, you know, the ox damaged or the pit damaged, but when it comes to the flame, it's actually the cherish that is doing the damaging, and therefore if it's the cherish doing the damaging, he's potter. But when it comes to the ox, when it comes to the pit, it's not the cherish that's doing the damaging, it's the pit, it's the ox, so therefore he's going to be chayiv. Friends, that was the test of Mesechta Bove Kame. We saw the opinion of Ravuna, who says that when it comes to damages, you could pay either with money or with property. We saw that Rav Asi ultimately said the same thing as well. We saw an interesting thing by a mitzvah, that by hiddur mitzvah, you should be willing to do up to a third, more of the standard one. You should invest in the hiddur, in the mermuhudur one. And then we got to a new Mishnah, which started talking about different examples of where you would be chayiv. And okay, that was the test of Masechta Bava Kama. I hope you enjoyed. Peace out.